Chapter 8, After the Flood, A New Beginning. The waters rose above the highest mountains. It often seemed to the family within the ark that they must perish, as for 5 long months their boat was tossed about. It was a trying ordeal, but Noah's faith did not waver. As the waters began to subside, the Lord caused the ark to drift into a spot protected by a group of mountains preserved by His power. These mountains were but a little distance apart, and the ark moved about in this quiet haven. This gave great relief to the weary, tempest-tossed voyagers. Noah and his family longed to go forth again upon the earth. 40 days after the tops of the mountains became visible, they sent out a raven to discover whether the earth had become dry. This bird, finding nothing but water, continued to fly to and from the ark. 7 days later a dove was sent forth, which, finding no footing, returned to the ark. Noah waited 7 days longer and again sent forth the dove. When she returned at evening with an olive leaf in her mouth, there was great rejoicing. Still Noah waited patiently for special directions to depart. At last an angel opened the massive door and bade the patriarch and his household go forth upon the earth and take with them every living thing. Noah did not forget him by whose gracious care they had been preserved. His first act was to build an altar and offer sacrifice, thus manifesting his gratitude to God for deliverance and his faith in Christ, the great sacrifice. This offering was pleasing to the Lord, and a blessing resulted, not only to the patriarch and his family, but to all who should live upon the earth. The Lord said in his heart, "I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night, shall not cease." Noah had come forth upon a desolate earth, but before preparing a house for himself, he built an altar to God. His stock of cattle was small, yet he cheerfully gave a part to the Lord as an acknowledgement that all was his. In like manner his mercy toward us should be acknowledged by devotion and gifts to his cause. The rainbow, sign of God's kindness. Lest men fear another flood, the Lord encouraged the family of Noah by a promise, "I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. When I bring a cloud over the earth, the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature." How great the condescension of God, and His compassion for His erring creatures! This does not imply that He would ever forget, but He speaks to us in our own language. As the children should ask the meaning of the arch which spans the heavens, their parents should repeat the story of the flood and tell them that the Most High had placed it in the clouds as an assurance that the waters should never again overflow the earth. It would testify of divine love to man and strengthen his confidence in God. In heaven, the semblance of the rainbow encircles the throne and overarches the head of Christ. When man by his great wickedness invites divine judgments, the Savior, interceding with the Father, points to the bow in the clouds, to the rainbow around the throne, as a token of mercy toward the repentant sinner. "As I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. My kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee." As Noah looked upon the powerful beasts of prey that came forth from the ark, the Lord sent an angel with the assuring message, "The fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea, into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things." Before this time God had given no permission to eat animal food, but now that every green thing had been destroyed, He allowed them to eat the flesh of the clean beasts that had been preserved in the ark. The entire surface of the earth was changed at the flood. Everywhere were strewn dead bodies. The Lord would not permit these to remain to decompose and pollute the air. A violent wind which was caused to dry up the waters moved them with great force, in some instances even carrying away the tops of mountains and heaping up trees, rocks, and earth above the bodies of the dead. By the same means the silver and gold, choice wood and precious stones, which had enriched the world before the flood, were concealed, the violent action of the waters piling earth and rocks upon these treasures and even forming mountains above them. God saw that the more He enriched and prospered sinful men, the more they would corrupt their ways before Him. The mountains, once beautiful, had become broken and irregular. Ledges and ragged rocks were now scattered upon the surface of the earth. Where once had been earth's richest treasures of gold, silver, and precious stones were seen the heaviest marks of the curse. And upon countries not inhabited and those where there had been the least crime, the curse rested more lightly. More terrible manifestations than the world has yet beheld will be witnessed at the second advent of Christ. As lightnings from heaven unite with the fire in the earth, the mountains will burn like a furnace and pour forth terrific streams of lava, overwhelming gardens and fields, villages and cities. Everywhere there will be dreadful earthquakes and eruptions. Thus God will destroy the wicked from off the earth. But the righteous will be preserved as Noah was preserved in the ark. Says the psalmist, "Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee," see also verse 14, and